But first, to kick off our Monday Bandstand, here's Alan Dell.
Hello again. On April the 26th, 1937, 50 years ago yesterday, Victor Sylvester and his ballroom dance orchestra, as I think it was called, first of all, were heard for the first time on the national programme of the BBC between 9.35 and 9.53. Naturally, the programme began with their signature tune, You're Dancing on My Heart, which in fact was the first title that the band had recorded back in August 1935. That record is something of a rarity now, but we were kindly lent a copy by Jeff Williams, secretary organizer of the Victor Sylvester Appreciation Society, and here it is. First record the Victor Sylvester Ballroom Orchestra made in 1935 and the first tune to be heard by listeners when the orchestra made its wireless debut. A day or two ago, I asked Victor Sylvester Jr. if he would reminisce about his father's very successful career. And I remarked, first of all, that he probably had no recollection of that first broadcast in 1937.
Yes, April 37. Well, I was 13 and at prep school at the time. And, of course, was not in any way connected with my father's business, either with the ballroom dancing or the broadcasting. But I do know that he had started the orchestra some 2 years before, in 1935, and probably in reverse to the normal way that any orchestra ever started in those days, because normally an orchestra got together and went and had an audition, and then through doing some broadcasts, a record company said, we'd like to record you. In my father's case, he just pursued various record companies with the idea that an orchestra playing specifically for dancers would be a good idea. And eventually a man called Oscar Preuss of Parlophone Records, who was the manager, said, well, you can make two records and we'll pay the musicians, so form an orchestra and we'll try it. And that is precisely what my father did. And after the first month, they came through and said, we'd like you to make another. And this went on for almost a couple of years. And then he inquired about getting into broadcasting for the BBC, and he was told that the orchestra would have to do an audition. And so in those days, everything, because it was under Sir John Reith, was very formal in the BBC, and they were asked to arrive in evening dress for the audition, which was on the 8th floor of Broadcasting House. And the producer at that audition was a man called John Sharman, who was to become a very, very famous BBC producer, who was also in evening dress. Eric Maschwitz was also there. And the band arrived, except for Charlie Spinelli, the saxophone player. And, of course, my father was going bananas because Charlie hadn't arrived. Everyone else was sitting there ready to go. And the producer kept looking at his watch. We can't stay here all night, you know. And eventually, in a very sort of desperate state, the door opened and Charlie came in. And he sat down, just got in his chair, got his sax out, and they played this audition. And at the end, they said, very nice, thank you. We think it'll be all right when you can have some broadcasts. And my father then found out that Charlie, who was a lovely man but entitled to be a bit hot-headed, had had a row with the commissionaire or something and over getting into the studio, and this was the delay. Anyway, they got their first broadcast. They got a series of six, and the first tune, I think, after the signature tune, You're Dancing on My Heart, the first tune they ever played in the program was Ida, Sweet as Apple Cider.
Why did your father choose that particular instrumentation?
I think because when he had formulated the idea of an orchestra to play specifically for dancers, he thought that two pianos might be very nice. He'd probably had the example of someone like Ivor Morton and Dave Kay. One piano would play the melody, and the other piano would tinkle away with what they call the lemonade at the top end. It did work out very well. He also chose a saxophone as a mellow instrument. He avoided brass, and he had rhythm, which was very essential. My father had started recording foxtrots and quick steps, but they decided to record some waltzes and tangos, and then thought it would be a good idea to bring in a violin. And that's how Oscar Grasso joined after the orchestra started.
Those were famous musicians that he had, too, in the band, of course.
Yes.
Apart from Oscar.
Dear Oscar, and, of course, there was Charlie Spinelli, who unfortunately died in 1941, and then that's when Poggy Pogson who was the master of so many instruments, came into the orchestra. He'd been with Jack Payne prior to that time. Poggy was with us for many, many years.
Yes.
One should mention that the original pianist on the first recordings was Jerry Moore.
Yes.
And Felix King, who afterwards became a band leader in his own right. There was George Sr. On the bass, Ben Edwards on the drums, and Rico De Stefano on the accordion.
With Oscar Grasso's violin complementing the saxophone of Charlie Spinelli. When he sadly died very young and Poggy Pogson came into the band, this was during the war, his wasn't the only change. Oscar Grasso went into the forces and his replacement was the very well-known classical violinist Alfredo Campoli. Here in Fascination. Time, a reminder of the later four saxophone sound that Victor Sylvester used in his famous TV dancing club. Thank you. the anniversary waltz, appropriate for the moment, I think. Victor Sylvester's orchestra on the TV Dancing Club series. Longest-running programme of that era, from 1948 to 1963. Before that, as Victor Sylvester Jr. reminded me, there was the Jive Band.
That was almost towards the end of the war. Obviously, Jive became very, very popular when the American forces came over during the war. And, of course, you have such wonderful musicians as George Chisholm, Tommy McQuaiter.
Yes. Jive Band of 1944 playing Undecided. Victor Sylvester introduced yet another idea during the war years. His record company, in addition to the ballroom orchestra's regular 278s a month, wanted the band to record some sambas and rumbas and Viennese waltzes. And Victor thought that the way to do this was to introduce a string section. And perhaps here I might remind you that over the years, Victor Sylvester and his right-hand man, pianist Ernest Wilson, composed some 200 tunes. Let's recall just one. This rumba, which is called Moon Over Mexico.
Then we got the idea of putting out an even larger orchestra and recording the great melodies by some of the great composers. We started off with Joram Kern, then we had Rodgers and Hart, then George Gershwin, Cole Porter, Nasir Herb Brown, Noel Coward, Ivan Novello and so on. Mm-hmm. And we enlarged to a 33-piece orchestra, and that was called the Silver Strings.
Beautiful sound.
And it was a nice sound.
I shall play one immediately.
I shall be delighted to listen to it again.
Indeed, the Silver Strings, and it's wonderful. The BBC's pronunciation unit, I used to think, had its work cut out when Victor Sylvester used to present his overseas programmes, answering requests from people and places in all corners of the world.
I scripted those programmes for 25 years. I had to buy a book where, over a period of time, you listed under each country various place names with the phonetic pronunciations.
Mm-hmm.
But any you couldn't find in that list that suddenly arrived from some place you'd never heard of, we simply either phoned them through or sent a list to the pronunciation unit, and within 48 hours you had the list back with the pronunciations all written out phonetically so that you could get it right.
Yes, it's all very well to go to the pronunciation unit, but you've still got to read it live.
That's true. But I think the fun, perhaps, of listening to a programme like that is to hear someone occasionally tripping up or getting a tongue twister and understanding. You're thinking, well, if I had to do that, I'm not sure I could have got it out correctly.
How did the band take it when he was doing those things? I mean, they must have been...
He was normally in a little sort of cut-off section of the studio.
I'd heard this.
So they didn't always hear that side of it.
Well, it's the only way to concentrate, I would think.
Yes.
This is Victor Sylvester bringing you Music for Dancing, played by my ballroom orchestra and broadcast in the General Overseas Service of the BBC from London. And so we come to our final waltz, and we're playing this one for Mrs. Joan Moulton in M'Cedar, Malta, for Mr. and Mrs. Kenneth S. Mapp of Whelan, Saskatchewan, Canada, Gabriel Lucero Larrave in Guatemala City, Guatemala, a L.M. Bey of Saragi Wali, Mecca in Saudi Arabia, and by F.A. Hillebrandt in Rotterdam, Holland.
You carry on the tradition, do you not?
I do, and the orchestra is still going. Yes. And, well, they decided to end a series called the Radio 2 Ballroom.
Yes.
And since then, sadly, we haven't been on the air.
I'm sure there will be a place for it very soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Alan.
I should also like to thank Jeff Williams of the Victor Sylvester Appreciation Society for his advice in the choice of items to illustrate this brief history of Victor Sylvester's career on this, the 50th anniversary of the Ballroom Orchestra's first broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Next week, music by Henry Hall for his birthday and also some Giraldo recollections. The time now is 7:30, and we have a cricket scoreboard from Alistair Hignall.
Good evening. 6 positive results in the first round of matches in the Britannic Assurance County Championship, 4 of them exciting finishes. None more exciting than at New Road, Worcester, where Ian Botham and Graham Dilley's new county beat Kent by 2 wickets, although the contribution this time from those two was limited. Kent 378 for 8 declared and 193 for 2 declared. Mark Benson 54, Neil Taylor 66. Worcestershire 250 and 324 for 8. Stephen Rhodes 78, Graham Hick 68. Worcestershire 20 points, Kent 8. At Bristol, the champions Essex beat last year's runners-up Gloucestershire by 10 wickets. Gloucestershire 268 and 222. Andy Stobbold 88, Neil Foster 4 for 93. Match figures of 10 for 170. Essex 466 for 5 declared and 25 for no wicket. Essex 24 points, Gloucestershire 4. At Chesterfield, Derbyshire beat Sussex by 9 wickets. Derbyshire 384 and 64 for 1. Sussex 233 and 212. Garth LaRue 73, Colin Wells 55. Derbyshire 24 points, Sussex 6. At Lords, Yorkshire beat Middlesex by 2 wickets. Middlesex 292 for 7 declared and 198 for 5 declared. Mark Ramprakash 63 not out on his debut. Mike Rosebery 52. Yorkshire 227 and 267 for 8. Kevin Sharp 75. Middlesex 7 points, Yorkshire 21. At Southampton, Northamptonshire beat Hampshire by 5 wickets. Hampshire 303 for 7 declared and 240 for 7 declared. Robin Smith 90, Kevin James 67. Northamptonshire 275 and 269 for 5. Wayne Larkins 120. Hampshire 8 points, Northamptonshire 22. At Taunton, Lancashire beat Somerset by 6 wickets. Somerset 355 for 6 declared and 95 for 7 declared. Jack Simmons 6 for 20. Lancashire 211 and 240 for 4. Neil Fairbrother 100, Steve O'Shaughnessy 61 not out. Somerset 7 points, Lancashire 21. At Edgbaston, Warwickshire against Glamorgan, match drawn. Glamorgan 350 for 7 declared and 259 for 5 declared. Hugh Morris is 105, his second 100 of the match. Jeff Holmes made 80. Warwickshire 300 for 3 declared and needing 310 to win, 159 for 4. Andy Lloyd 68. Warwickshire 6 points, Glamorgan 5. At Trent Bridge, Nottinghamshire against Surrey, match drawn. Surrey 266 and 266 for 8 declared. Alex Stewart 61, Ian Gregg 50 not out. Nottinghamshire 300 and needing 233 to win in 36 overs, 80 for 4. Not 7 points, Surrey 6. So Essex and Derby top the table with a maximum 24 points, Northamptonshire 3rd on 22. Finally at Fenners on the second day, Leicestershire 457 for 5 declared against Cambridge University, James Whittaker 126, Tim Boone 80, Ian Butcher 87 and Laurie Potter 68. The University 338 behind on first innings, 24 for 2 in their second. That's it. Now back to Alan Dell.
Thank you very much, Alistair. Alistair Hignall with the cricket scoreboard. Now to part one of this evening's Big Band Era. Because of the pressure of other things, I've not had a chance of looking at 2 recent releases, tributes to the work of the late Benny Goodman, who died in June last year. Here first...